Support for WPR comes from the Stevens Point area, offering a variety of getaway experiences, itineraries and ideas for beer lovers, foodies, outdoor recreation fans, and more are at StevensPointArea.com.
You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this last day of January, a cold Wednesday, January the 31st. And we welcome your participation as we continue talking about the state of Wisconsin. Governor Doyle unveiled his State of the State and a number of ambitious proposals to the legislature last night, and we'll talk about those proposals, get reaction to those proposals, and welcome your questions about those proposals during this hour. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Governor Doyle's State of the State speech drew mixed reactions along party lines last night. Some Republicans questioned how Doyle could pay for his proposals. In fact, Senate Minority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said Doyle was living in a state of denial, and he wondered how he was going to fund these initiatives and balance the budget without raising taxes. We also, though, heard from Democrat Judy Robson, who praised Doyle for his vision. She called the speech the boldest and most ambitious that Governor Doyle has ever given. We will hear from a Republican state senator and the Democratic Party chair of Wisconsin in just a few minutes, and again, welcome your questions and reactions for them. We will start, though, this morning welcoming in the lieutenant governor of the state of Wisconsin, Barbara Lawton, who graciously agreed to join us. Governor Doyle's schedule did not permit him to join us for a few minutes. We are very happy to have Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
So if you were writing the headlines this morning, Lieutenant Governor Lawton, what is the headline from the State of the State speech last night?
Oh, I think it would be Governor Doyle lays out a bold design for progress in Wisconsin. It was, to me, a very well, it was a roadmap for us going forward in these 4 years, where he acknowledged at the beginning that the elections were not only renewing our contract in the administration, but brought to us some shifts in the legislature, and it was a charge for us to work together. And he closed on that point as well, that the triumph of passing an elections and ethics board reform and giving us an accountability board and the promise of continued and clean government going forward, but that is a bipartisan action, is evidence of what we can do when we work together. And so now when we look at the record of our last 4 years, we want to follow through on that. And he laid out the opportunities that he sees before us. And in many cases, those are opportunities of our own making. And it is his leadership that is helping us to see how we can indeed afford them. And in fact, we can't afford not to move forward in every one of those categories. So I know that Senator Fitzgerald referred to some of these as being lofty goals. And I think they are ambitious, and we are a state that is restless with ambition. And when Governor Doyle started out talking about fiscal responsibility as being the hallmark of his work in the administration, you can see it in each one of those proposals. It is fiscally responsible for us to find a way to get more people to health care and to the possibility of good preventative health care instead of having them treated with hard-earned tax dollars in the emergency room, which is very expensive. So expanding access and bringing down the costs and bringing more people to affordable health care will actually provide savings for all of us. And the tobacco tax is actually a health reform strategy because we're talking about working towards saving the $500 million in Medicaid-related expenses that we have every year. When we look at the proposals that he put forward in education, in public education, in that is workforce development, I mean, in economic terms. if we are going to have the workforce that we need to be competitive, we know that that's our competitive edge in a global economy in Wisconsin. And so that bold idea of the Wisconsin Covenant, where we can invite every single eighth grader in the state to imagine her place in a college or technical college, university or technical college classroom. And then with our investments in SAGE and breakfast and extra math and science and all of that, make that a reality for them if we can. So, you know, these all, and I would also add that the very important strategies that he laid out under the heading of environment are also part of how we can ensure that Wisconsin stays competitive in a totally changed context with global warming.
Yeah, I did speak with Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch earlier this morning, and he was indicating that he saw a lot of common ground where Republicans and Democrats could work together on these proposals. But it seemed to me the two sticking points in particular were the a cigarette tax increase. He said that he didn't really see necessarily that there was a need to do that, to increase the cigarette tax. Is there really a need to do that?
Oh, I think there's a need because I think that we still have far too many smokers. We've the increased attention to trying to bring down the number of smokers has helped, but we're a long way from there on this. And we know that the American Cancer Society is telling us that 5,000 kids every day have their first cigarette and another 2,000 become regular smokers. And we know that raising the cost of a pack of cigarettes is one of the first, most important, and most effective deterrents. So it is a healthcare reform strategy. It's a workforce development to have a healthy workforce. And I think it's a very important move that's timely.
Yeah, he also could see that there would be opposition to the statewide ban on smoking in public places in bars, that if that, that maybe there should be an exemption for taverns.
Well, I think that tavern owners will be opposed to that because smoking has become so unacceptable that people aren't even able to smoke in their own homes comfortably anymore, and this has been the place that they go. But if we're working toward a smoke-free society and protecting people from the and protecting us from the expense of treating disease from secondhand smoke, it's time for us to join many nations across the world, as well as other states, to say, let's just ban this. It's difficult when it's done in a patchwork quilt fashion, community by community, and instead of putting it together in that way, the governor is providing the leadership to say, let's just take care of this question now across the state.
Yeah, and another area where Speaker Hipsch voiced some concern was the expansion of the Badger Care program to cover all children and lower-income adults without children. He thought that consumers and not the government need to play a bigger role, and there's this philosophical difference between government-run health insurance programs and the private sector.
Well, we can come back to the fiscal responsibility. The Republicans have not come forward with any sound plan to lower the cost of health care. The only strategy that they have put forward in the time we've been in office is a health savings account, which only affects a handful of people and does not drive down costs. We're putting forward something that will, if insurance companies pass on the savings, if we get all of those people out of the emergency room and into care and getting preventative care, and pregnant women especially getting good preventative care, then we can enact savings that could be realized by consumers of up to $500 a year. So this isn't burdening taxpayers. This is a strategy to save money for all of us.
Yeah. And you, Lieutenant Governor Lawton, think that there's plenty of money for us to accomplish all of these goals that were unveiled by the governor last night?
Yes. You know, this is like getting the budget speech in serial fashion. Stay tuned.
Yeah, February.
I'm sure that I can assure you that Governor Doyle would not stick his neck out that far did he not have the plan for funding this behind it. But as I said, this is a sound plan, a roadmap for us toward progress in Wisconsin that really not only takes stock of what we have and what our strengths are and where we're going to target that job training and increased money, a doubling money to youth apprenticeship. But it's also a very forward thinking, and we have a lot of government institutions that were created in a completely different era. And as we have shifted, as the economic circumstances around us have shifted dramatically, it's time for us to drive the evolution of government institutions. And we see that with a change in configuration of DHFS and DWD and bringing out those programs that are focused on children. If we're going to achieve success there and reduce redundancies, then we'll pull it together under the authority of a single Department of Children and Families. I think that there are a lot of exciting plans that are sound, driving us forward, including the governor made reference to, and he didn't offer any detail last night. I'm sure we'll get that in 2 weeks, in a Milwaukee package. Yeah. Milwaukee is the largest city. It defines us, just as Minneapolis-St. Paul is a metropolitan area, defines Minnesota. And whether you live in Green Bay or Superior or Platteville, your destiny is linked to the success of the city of Milwaukee and the people who live there. And we have some serious challenges to address. And I think these are opportunities for us to make this flagship city just a bright star in this country.
Well, we will certainly stay tuned and talk more about this after the state budget address on February 13th and in the days and weeks to come. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Barbara Lawton, the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin. We will be welcoming in two other guests to debate the different ideas presented last night in the State of the State here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Ben Marins is with you this afternoon between 4 and 6 for At Issue with Ben Marins and more analysis of Governor Doyle's State of the State address coming up this afternoon after 4 when Ben welcomes in guest political scientist Joe Heim from UW-La Crosse. So more talk about these issues, these state issues unveiled in the State of the State address this afternoon after 4. We have been reacting to and discussing and analyzing the governor's State of the State address all morning long here on the Ideas Network, and we will continue this hour with two guests. Joe Winicky, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
And we also have with us Ted Canavas, Republican State Senator from Brookfield. Good morning.
Hi, Joy. How are you?
Thanks very much for agreeing to be with us. We did invite the chairs or heads of the state Republican Party. They were unable to join us this morning, and they recommended, and we're glad that Ted Canavas agreed to join us instead. Let me also invite listeners to join in with any thoughts or questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. You know, I started off the hour playing a clip from the governor calling on the state legislature to go beyond the ethics reform legislation that was passed just yesterday. He praised that, but said it wasn't enough, that it's time to end these phony issue ads. Joe Winicky, you want to talk about that?
Hear, hear.
Yeah?
I don't have a lot to say, to be honest. It's long overdue. This notion that some nebulous group, whether it's a Democratic front group or Republican front group, can come in and hijack campaigns. Nobody knows where the money's coming from. You know, some group out of Virginia or someplace, and they always have nice names like "We're good guys," and you know,
yeah,
"All children matter" or something like that.
Good government citizens.
And I'm sorry, and I've been part of some of these, but they're wrong, and it's long overdue. And you know, if they say, "Well, it might not be legal," I say, "Take it to court."
Yeah. Well, what he's proposing is somehow, if it's within a certain amount of time of the election, like 30 or 60 days, that then they have to adhere to stricter guidelines, if mm-hmm. and it would just dry up the issue ads.
Well, I truly think, and I don't know what the senator thinks, but I think if some of these groups had to say where the money came from, they wouldn't spend it.
Yeah. Senator Canavas?
No, I think Joe's onto it. I think if you have to identify where the money's coming from, it's going to make it a lot more difficult for these groups to, basically operate under the radar. I think, clarity and transparency of dollars in terms of mission and all those things is very important to our process. And, Joe's right in the sense that there's not a candidate out there that runs that doesn't want to control the message coming from their campaigns. And to suddenly get blasted out of the water by some group that, has absolutely no responsibility in the process and can just say whatever they want to say is a little bit troubling.
And Ted, you don't know who they are even.
Yeah, right, you don't even know who they are. But I would point out that the Supreme Court is actually going to be deciding some of this soon, relating to a case with Wisconsin Right to Life. So I'm really interested to see what the court comes down with.
Let me bring in a caller who's been waiting for the whole hour, and that's one of the reasons I brought up this issue first, Laverne in Monroe. Hi, Laverne.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hi, Laverne.
Yeah, you do a good job. Good job, Joe.
Laverne used to be a constituent.
Right. Okay, Laverne, I know what you want to talk about.
Yeah, the governor's speech was great, but with one part I didn't like, with the ethic reform, that wasn't good enough. Joe's right about the attack ads. The assembly-controlled Republican Party, I think, believes they want to, when they do catch a crook, they want to kind of prosecute him on a county level, which I don't like. I think they should prosecute the crooks on the state level. And
oh, I see. I know it. Laverne doesn't like the part of that bill that says if a lawmaker gets into trouble, here at the state capitol in Madison, that state lawmaker under this bill would be prosecuted in his or her home district in whatever, Eau Claire County or something. Joe Winicky, is there anything wrong with that?
Well, if I was an elected official, and I used to be one, the last thing I would want if I had been accused of wrongdoing is to be tried in my home county where it is front page news every day. I don't know what people are thinking on this. If it's the Madison paper, that's one thing. But if every day the Toma, whatever it is writing stories about my crookedness, the chances of me getting elected, even if I was found innocent, the next time are far more difficult.
Yeah, Senator Canavas?
Well, I think I voted for the, I voted for the bill, Laverne, but the reason I voted for it was because I think it, got us 80% to where we wanted to be. Now, there are provisions of the bill that are going to be debated for years to come, and I think, truthfully, that provision that you just described may have some sort of legal challenge to it at some point. I'm very animated about cleaning up government and very animated about ethics reform, and I think that this is, like I said, about 80% of what we wanted, but, sometimes in government, you got to compromise to get a bill done, and that was exactly what happened.
And we haven't done anything for years in the ethics front. And this is, if you get a B, it's a darn good grade.
Yeah, I mean, we got an 80. I'll be honest. I think the bill is a B.
Yeah, and a B is a lot better than an F.
I agree.
The headline it gets is that it's the strongest ethics bill in the country.
Well, it's been proclaimed as such anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm not so sure of that either.
Well, one of the things, too, that was taken out yesterday before it passed was that non-severability clause, which, Senator Canavas, you just mentioned that this particular prosecution clause might be challenged legally, but that means if for some reason that's not constitutional to try the lawmaker in his or her home district, the entire thing won't be thrown out.
Well, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important thing that happened.
And, I didn't understand why they were worried about that poison pill anyway, but, you look at this bill, and I think people are focusing on the wrong parts of it. I mean, this thing has a major change where we merge the Ethics and Elections Board. We create a pool of retired judges. We have a Governmental Accountability Board. It's a complete revamp of what we do, and I think people should give it a chance.
Well, I think so, too, and that's why I voted for it. And the other piece...
We're agreeing way too much, Ted.
Well, I know. This is ridiculous. Let me just say that, the reason I voted for it was I asked one question. Will this board have a subpoena power, the ability to compel testimony, should there be some sort of issue that arises? And the answer is yes. And that's what makes it tough, in a nutshell, is the ability to actually go and compel people to testify. That's what puts teeth in the bill, which is why I supported it.
Yeah. Now, did the will there be a campaign finance reform taken up, more campaign finance reform taken up by this legislature, Joe Winicky?
I sure hope so. I mean, we really have not in a major way reformed campaign finances in Wisconsin in 30 years. And we're still living off limits on public financing, for example, that were created in the mid-1970s. When I first ran for the Assembly in 1982, I was allowed to spend $17,000, and the PAC limit or the public financing limit was $7,763. 25 years later, it's the exact same amount. Mm-hmm. It's nuts.
Senator Canavas?
Well, I think you're going to see two or three different kinds of proposals put forward. I'm not a big believer in using public money for elections. It's just kind of a philosophical thing for me. I think that elections should not be funded by the government, that elections should be funded by private citizens. And I think the reason for that is because it's their government. It's not the government's government. And I think that's an important distinction that's going to be articulated by different groups. I would also say that the key thing, as I said earlier, is transparency. If you literally shine a light on the process, the cockroaches are going to go to the corners. That's what's going to happen. So what I'm most interested in is transparency, 24-hour reporting, being in a position to have online access to the information, because, like I said, the bad guys go away.
Yeah. Let me bring up a topic that might see a little bit more disagreement between our two guests. Governor Doyle last night asked lawmakers to join his broad assault on tobacco.
Too many of our kids are still lighting up. Too many lives are being cut short. And the cost has swelled into the billions. In fact, Wisconsin taxpayers are forced to pay about $500 million every year in Medicaid costs directly related to smoking. And so, after consulting with public health leaders from around the state, I am proposing to raise Wisconsin's tobacco tax by $1.25 a pack.
So, is that a good idea, Joe Winicky?
Sure. And if it doesn't happen right now, it's eventually going to happen. But the thing that I find fascinating about this debate, and I agree that it's going to be one of the more contentious issues of the coming budget cycle, and I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Assembly Republicans pulled part of that out of the budget and put it into separate legislation. But I would say this about it, is this is a bold proposal. It will probably break down not on partisan lines, but on much more rural urban lines and small town, big town lines. And I think it's going to be a fascinating debate. This whole debate about public health is long overdue, and I think what the governor has done is put it to the forefront, and I say it's about time.
Senator Canavas?
Well, I think the public health debate has been ongoing, and I'm excited about that portion of this discussion. I think that one of the things that I think everyone believes and is united on is this idea that if you are participating in high-risk behaviors, that you should be carrying a higher burden in the cost of health care. And the whole discussion about health care, it should be, in my opinion, about cost. It shouldn't be about, and it should be cost, and it should be about access, and it should be about all the high quality and all the things that kind of are Wisconsin ideals. But when you talk about taxing a pack of cigarettes as the tool for funding public health programs, you've got to be very careful. And because you're really trying to disincent people from smoking, which is a very healthy thing, obviously, but at the same time, your revenue stream is going to go away over time. So suddenly, if you're saying we're going to fund these public health programs based on this tax, and the tax goes away because people aren't buying cigarettes, what happens to the public health programs?
What a great goal, though.
Oh, it's a wonderful goal. But let me just say this, is that if we're going to be serious about public health, let's talk about creating a program that's going to be sustainable. And I'm not convinced that taxing cigarettes is the way to do it.
Yeah. What about the smoking ban in public places in Wisconsin, statewide, workplace smoke-free act type thing? Joe Winicky, should taverns be exempted from that? That's what the Tavern League wants.
In a perfect world, no. But the debate is going to end up being, it's not going to be over restaurants. It's not going to be over public buildings. It's going to be over bars.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I can easily see a compromise coming in this whole area, just as I can on health care, between where the governor's trying to do and where the Republicans and legislature care about health savings accounts. But, I mean, if The thing I really like what I've heard so far in the last few weeks from Speaker Hipps, from Senator Canavas and others, is there doesn't seem to be this nasty vitriol this year so far between Democrats and Republicans. And if they roll up their sleeves, there's a lot that can get done.
Yeah. Let's take a call from someone who wants to talk about the education issues. Catherine in Oshkosh. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm Catherine. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
and I want to express my concern. I think Governor Doyle is excellent. He's a good man. He's compassionate. He's direct. He's not a liar. And he's doing an excellent job. But there's a bigger issue that was brought up in the gubernatorial campaign. And that is the issue that the University of Wisconsin educational system, the whole state system, is excellent. Wisconsin does an excellent job of educating its young people. But the problem is they leave the state after graduation. And I'm not talking about initial salaries, which, of course, can be, you know, a knee-jerk reaction. Oh, I'm going to earn more money in Phoenix or Denver or Chicago. But the problem is that when they look at long-term career growth, they do not see it in Wisconsin. And they feel their long-term prospects are better served in other cities or other communities.
Senator Canavas, do you agree with that?
Catherine, I think you're dead on. And I think that one of the ways that we've tried to answer that is by putting together packages of economic growth reforms that we believe are going to be significant and will attract not only kids that are educated here in Wisconsin to stay home, but talent from outside of the state to come here. We just released Invest Wisconsin 2.0 last week, and when you talk about wonderful technologies, one of which the governor mentioned last night, like nanotechnology with the University of Wisconsin Stout, University of Wisconsin Eau Claire, and Chippewa Valley Technical College, all working together to create a wonderful platform for the growth of a brand new industry in Wisconsin, those are the kinds of interesting intellectual property-based kinds of jobs that really attract kids from out of state to be here and keep kids home. It is something that we're concerned about. It's something that we're addressing. And truthfully, it's been an area where it's been really bipartisan historically in Wisconsin since I've been in the legislature now for 6 years.
Well, and I think Senator Canavas has been a leader in this area. But I'm very much applaud where the governor is heading on this through the Wisconsin Covenant, especially saying that if you keep your nose clean, you get good grades, you're going to be able to have access to college in this state somewhere, somehow. I think that's great. But, you know, there's other things that he brought up in his speech last night that are really important, like he wants to require a third year of math and science in high school. Yes, it's a mandate, but it's one that's overdue. He wants to beef up school breakfast programs, something near and dear to my heart because my wife actually works. She's serving breakfast right now at Sugar Creek Elementary School, reducing class sizes in the early grades. We're never going to get everybody to stay in Wisconsin. We're in a world society today, but if we can keep the playing field level enough that we bring in as many people as we lose or more through doing things like nanotechnology, stem cell research, Wisconsin could become the Silicon Valley in stem cell research all over the state. That would bring in thousands of good paying jobs, and as long as it nets out, I'm okay with it.
Senator Canavas, do you like that Wisconsin Covenant idea?
I think it's very ambitious. I think it's actually I stood up and applauded when I finally found out that he's going to try to fund the whole model. My concern with it, obviously, is we need to have a sustainable finance model. And what concerns me about the governor's speech was it was very ambitious and there was a lot of new initiatives, but I want to make sure that they're funded not just in this biennium, but if you're going to make that promise, you need to structurally promise it over a period of time. You just can't say, well, it's a great thing to offer and makes everybody feel good for a two-year period. So what we're going to look at, and I think we should look at, and it's our responsibility to look at, is how this funding model is going to be redundant and whether it adds to the structural deficit to the point where it's going to hurt the state as much as it helps the kids that it's intended to help. So we need to balance all these interests as we go through this process. And I think that's what, I heard Lieutenant Governor Lawton's comments leading into our discussion. And she said, well, we know the governor's going to fund all this stuff, and we're going to talk about that on the 13th. We're really excited about that discussion and look forward to a vigorous debate about making sure that we're fiscally responsible.
Yeah, he did bring up the governor last night that he wants to invest $225 million into the University of Wisconsin system to keep tuition down, to help fund this Wisconsin Covenant, and to graduate more nurses and engineers and teachers. Good idea, Joe Winicky?
Of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what I find fascinating about this debate is if I ever heard a criticism about Jim Doyle, especially from Democrats, it was he was cautious, almost to the point of conservatism. But yet all I've heard from everybody, either it's Democrat or Republican, Senator Canavas talked about it's ambitious. I've heard that Judy Robson calls it bold. I say great, mm-hmm. because what we're talking about are exciting, different ways to go. And if the focus is on education and healthcare, I mean, when we were off air, you said, you know, how would you describe the governor's speech? And I did it in two words. I said, kids count. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think this does. And I think it's long overdue. I mean, we don't have to, you know, the old saying, some men see things as they are and ask why. Some see things that never were and ask why not. And mm-hmm. I say, why not?
Yeah. And Senator Canavas, why not?
Well, I think we can. I mean, I think we've done a lot of these things already and are going to continue to expand that. You know, I speak to Catherine's comment earlier about the economy. We've been very vigorous and very aggressive on the economy. In terms of the programs relating to students and things of that nature, we want to make sure that, like I said, it's not empty promises. We need to be able to fund this stuff and not just give a speech.
And I think that's fair. Yeah. And I think, you know, both Republicans and Democrats should hold the governor to that. I think that's a good
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
We will talk more about what the governor had to say last night in his State of the State address and welcome your thoughts and questions for our two guests. We are joined by Joe Winicky, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and Ted Canavas, a Republican state senator from Brookfield. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our numbers, if you'd like to join in. You can also send us an email, by the way, talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
If in your heart you believe no child, no worker, no family should go without health coverage, if you believe the cost of inaction in lives and dollars is both immoral and unacceptable, if as Democrats, Republicans, Wisconsinites, you take this bold step forward, here is what you will achieve. At least 98% of our people will have access to health care coverage more than any other state in the nation. More than any other state in the nation.
That was Governor Jim Doyle in his State of the State address last night before the legislature and the citizens of Wisconsin. We are talking about what he had to say last night with Joe Winicky and State Senator Ted Canavas. And Joe Winicky, that was pretty bold.
You know, I really think this was the, you know, it's, people rate speeches. I really thought this was the best the governor's ever done. I mean, he was very eloquent in this area. He was speaking with passion. But when it comes to kids and health care, I really see this as an area where there is the ability for Democrats and Republicans to come together. You're still keeping the basics of the market-based model in Wisconsin with insurance companies and the like. You expand Badger Care. You make sure that everybody has access if they want to choose it. And we become a national leader in this area. But there's another thing that hasn't been talked much about, and it's this whole notion of increasing the use of electronic health information mm-hmm. systems, which I can see in my backyard, Epic Systems in mm-hmm. Verona, which is huge, you know, monstrous facilities there that employ 2,500 people. But it's more the notion that all of your medical records would be portable, that doctors don't have to make a mistake because you went and saw two different doctors, and it has the potential of really reducing cost.
Mm-hmm. Senator Canavas?
Well, I think the governor obviously has framed the debate. Now we have to have the debate, and I really applaud Senator Darling and Senator Ressler, who laid out a package of ideas last week called Smart Medicine, and it's a terrific set of ideas, and it's all about lowering the cost of health care, not only in the short term but in the long term. And if we can do that, if we can pay people to stay well, if we can, you know, have people take ownership over their own health care and, you know, really attack some of those, you know, Medicaid costs with people with chronic diseases, I think we're a long way to getting toward a more stable health care model for Wisconsin.
Great opportunity for compromise here, but Ted, you have to be careful. That paying people to stay well almost sounded like big government.
Well, it isn't big government. It's common sense. I mean, if you think about it, wellness and trying to make sure that people don't get sick in the first place should be one of the goals and opportunities that we all pursue.
Yeah.
So you are for that smoking ban then?
You know what? Let me put it to you this way. Would I ever smoke cigarettes? No.
Me neither.
Would I ever... You know, would I encourage my children not to? Of course not. You don't want to smoke cigarettes. It isn't healthy. Am I really convinced that it's government's position to tell people, this is, kind of big government, paternalism saying, we're going to ban smoking and we're going to, if we want to ban smoking, why don't we just make tobacco illegal? Why don't we just say cigarettes are illegal and we can't sell them in the United States? Why don't we just do that if that's what the objective is?
I was just trying to be contrarian.
I know you are. He's picking a fight on a Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let me pick a fight, too. Senator Canavas, were you applauding when Governor Doyle said we need to expand Badger Care to cover all the kids and some adults who don't have kids?
In a perfect world, you'd love to be able to do all of these things, Joy, but the problem is that when you get to the finances of it, it's very difficult to manage the expansion and the cost of this. I mean, we've already seen that, Badger Care is underfunded for this biennium, and suddenly we're going to expand the program when we have a significant, and I mean a significant, structural deficit for the state. So the devil is in the details with all of these proposals in terms of spending the money, and we have to be really, really careful because we don't want to, lurch from financial crisis to financial crisis in these budgets. It's no way to run a railroad. You're going to go to, the governor's going to eventually have to go to New York and go to the people who rate bonds and say, hey, this is how we're running Wisconsin. How are we doing? We're going to get a low bond rating. It's going to continue to escalate the cost of all the debt that we've accrued over the past 4 years. And we've got to be careful because at some point, it's going to come home to roost. And when it does, it's going to be a big shock to Wisconsin taxpayers because they're the ones ultimately that have got to foot the bill for most of this stuff.
Let me bring in another caller to change the subject for us. Mohammed in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call and good morning. I was at a therapy session for my daughter yesterday, and I'm a single parent, African-American male, with 9 and 4-year-old daughters. And there was an article in, I believe it's called the Utney Reader, and there was a study that was done to actually, one, track the number of incarcerated individuals, mostly African-American males, but a growing number of females, and what zip codes they came from. And it was very, very interesting. If you get a chance, I would invite people to look at that study. Yeah. The other one looked at the amount of money that correctional departments are making, states are making off of collect phone calls from prisoners, and there's actually a lawsuit that resulted in that. But my point is, I think it's been well said that the cost of educating, especially young people, versus incarcerating them is just too glaring for any. It's almost like talking about, whether or not you believe there's, the ozone layer is wasting away. So I agree with the gentleman that, yes, if you're big enough to propose this, you should be big enough to come up with a way to pay for it. But like Governor Thompson came up with ways to pay for prisons when he was governor, creative ways, why don't we jump on board on that? And I'll lastly challenge the governor, why in the world don't we have 4-year-old kindergarten in Madison if education is so important?
Mohammed, you brought up a lot of great points. In that study you saw in the Utney Reader, I believe, probably is that study that says there's a big disparity in the number of blacks versus whites imprisoned in Wisconsin. Wisconsin has a bad record. We incarcerate more blacks per capita, and this disparity is the worst in the nation. Joe Winicky, did the governor address that last night?
I don't think that there was a great focus on the crime issue in this speech. It seemed to me he focused mostly on education and health care, energy, and ethics. But I think Muhammad's right on what he's saying. And, the thing about Madison, by the way, in 4-year-old kindergarten, if they want it, they can have it, and the state will help fund it. It's up to that local school district to make that decision. And the governor did propose and made highlight of two issues that I think are important to young people, especially poor young people, and that's greatly increasing the school breakfast program. We're 50th out of 50 states in school breakfast. And the second is the SAGE program, where he wants to put in a lot of new money to make sure that we have small class sizes in kindergarten through third grade. And, you know, so I think he's on the right direction on that. When it came to four-year-old kindergarten, I don't remember that being talked about.
Yeah. Senator Canavas, a lot there to talk about, react to, that
Well, I think Mohammed brings up some great points. I think, you know, when you talk about education versus incarceration, I think there is a juxtaposition of those two things. I mean, when you look at Milwaukee Public Schools, for example, and you see a truancy rate of 45%, graduation rate somewhere between 65 and 70%, you know, that is a big red flag. And it's saying, bright with shining colors, it's saying we have a major problem here in MPS. And I think, you know, in the governor's defense, and I'm not here to defend the governor, he's going to talk about Milwaukee over the course of the next couple of weeks in a separate announcement. But I think there's a real appetite in the legislature to talk about Milwaukee and Milwaukee's problems, and I'm going to have a package of reforms that I'm going to be releasing in the next couple of weeks relating to MPS, and specifically going at the question of why are we struggling so desperately to keep African-American kids in school, and why are we struggling so desperately to have these kids educated? It shouldn't be this hard. And it's been persistent, and it's a major problem, and it's one that if we don't solve it, we're going to have an anchor in Milwaukee for the next 30 or 40 years, and we can't afford it.
But, you know, Gwen Moore, the congresswoman from Milwaukee, said this so well one day on the floor of the state Senate when she was in the Senate, and she said, you know, you really want to fix the problems, especially in the black community, give them all a BMW.
What does that mean?
Black men working.
Oh.
And because if people have a decent job, crime goes way down.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that you have to have a really sound economy in Milwaukee. But, you know, keep in mind that there's a tremendous amount of employment that's going around, not only around Milwaukee, but also within Milwaukee County itself. And what's happening is that a lot of people just simply aren't skilled up, Joe. And what
I agree.
What we need to do, and you know, the governor spoke to an education tax credit last night. Senator Darling has a great education tax bill in the Senate. Is we need to continue to offer opportunities to companies to retrain people and get them employed. Because I agree completely that if you have people literally not focusing on their own personal lives on a daily basis and are kind of focused on a work environment and creating opportunities for themselves and their families, you're going to have a much healthier society, and that's exactly what we need in Milwaukee.
And just add a transportation component, and I'm there.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, again, show me the money.
I know, but that is oftentimes, especially, I know my background in the last decade has heavily been in the construction trades, and we're constantly trying to diversify the workforce, but one of the problems is getting people to the job site.
Yep.
Well, let's talk about another major area touched on last night by Governor Doyle that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet. It's his energy proposal. So he wants to create an office on energy independence, and he wants a task force on global warming to come up with ways to combat global warming and to invest, some $40 million more into renewable energies in Wisconsin. What do you think of all those, Senator Canavas?
Well, I think it's really an important goal, and it's something we've been trying to achieve as a country for the last probably 35, 40 years, this notion of energy independence so we don't have to worry about foreign oil. You know, whether it's at the federal level or at the state level, there's things that we can do, not the least of which is to embrace the use of ethanol. I'm not in favor of a mandate to use it because I don't believe people should be mandated to use any products, but I think that it's important for us to have a policy where we're actually creating a better platform for different types of energy, whether it's ethanol, whether it's, you know, switchgrass, or it's other kinds of products that we can use in order to create this kind of environment of not depending on foreign oil. The other thing I'd point out is that, you know, in terms of global warming and whether or not the state of Wisconsin is going to be able to alter the effects of global warming, you know, every 100,000 years we have climate change, and to the extent that we're capable of changing, you know, world trends over the course of, you know, a millennium is very difficult for me to fathom. But having said that, you know, we have to do our part to be sensible. And I think conservatives conserve. And that's what I keep arguing with people, is that we need to conserve and be thoughtful about how we use our different energy sources.
Joe Winicky?
Well, I think this week we're in a new ice age.
Exactly. Well, right, exactly.
It's going to be normal this week. What do you mean?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I'm going to Washington tomorrow. I hope it's warmer there. I do really like the notion. He's creating a $30 million energy grant and loan program to help basically up-and-coming small industries who have a good idea to see if they can break loose, you know, just in some ways the same way stem cell research happened here in Madison. And if the more money that we and the more jobs we can create to help promote energy independence makes it that more likely that maybe 50 years from now we don't have to worry about what's going on so much in Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Iraq. Mm-hmm.
And he wants Wisconsin to be the first state in the nation to produce ethanol from cellulose.
Cellulosic.
Yes.
Cellulosic. Yep, absolutely.
And that's wood waste or something.
Yep.
Grass, yeah. Wood waste, mm-hmm. Things like that. And that's important. You know, we still have America's Dairyland on our car license plates.
I think that's better than what you're going to say.
No. I'm not getting into flatulence. Okay. No, but I think what's important to note, too, is if you start taking all this corn and moving it all into ethanol, the price to feed the cattle in this state is going to go through the roof, and it's going to put dairy farmers at risk.
Well, it already has, and it's already changed the market. I think bushel has gone from $2 to $4.
Yeah, that's doubling, yeah.
Yeah, it's changing the whole, the negotiation on, renting farms, and the whole bid has all changed. So I think you're going to see an expansion in the amount of farming that's done, believe it or not, which is something that nobody was talking about even 5 years ago.
And you know what's cool about this debate? A month ago, I didn't know what the hell cellulose it was.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's very interesting. We have some new opportunities, and I think it's great that we explore.
Well, we have a couple of more minutes to go. I want to give you both an opportunity. Joe Winicky, first, you mentioned a couple of things that weren't getting a lot of attention from the state of the state. Anything else that we haven't talked about yet this morning or something you think was significant from the state of the state that's not getting the attention that it deserves?
Well, what's most significant is Brett Favre's going to come back.
Did he mention that?
No, I just thought I'd throw that in. I hope so. No, I think just the focus on public education from pre-kindergarten all the way through college. I mean, after about 5 years of the university just getting whacked around, the fact that we're going to be a major player, and we have to do that if we're going to do the Wisconsin Covenant, that technical schools matter. There's a little proposal in here that's going to add as much as almost 40,000 people to be able to get retrained in our technical schools. Mm-hmm. You know, early childhood stuff on things like the SAGE program and school breakfast, healthcare for all kids, that's just good, sound stuff. And we're most importantly, we're getting away from the divisive social debates into issues that matter to people.
And let's the last 45 seconds for Senator Canavas.
Well, I'm going to go on a major diatribe at this point. No, I'm very excited about opportunities that are presented to us. Pardon me. But one of the concerns that I have is what wasn't mentioned by the governor, and that is how to pay for a lot of things. We have to be very careful about money here. The second thing is that, we talk about the UW system, which I'm a product of, for good or for ill, and I will tell you right now that we need to be more thoughtful about reforming that UW system so that it's more flexible. Right now, for example, he never mentioned UW-Waukesha last night. UW-Waukesha is a big deal where I come from. And we really need to have more programming there that includes UWM, mm-hmm. UW-Madison, other things. And, one of the problems that we have is that we get very content in our state as it relates to the UW, and we can't be.
Well,
we have to really push.
We'll have to devote more attention to that the next time. Ted Canavas, thanks very much for being with us.
My great pleasure.
And Joe Winicky, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Joe Winicky is the Democratic Party Chair of Wisconsin, and Ted Canavas, a Republican State Senator from Brookfield. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour and to Karen Prager for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.